and read you maybe verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with, say it loud,
fire.
Fire. Amen. Where's the fire? Praise God. A lot of people claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but it didn't melt off the first coat of paint. Amen. Woo! Even them Baptists back home get to crying and praying around the altar, and that mass cow would run in two or three lines down their face. Amen. What happened? They got close to the fire. Hallelujah. Amen. And it makes a difference in you inside and outside. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Let me read you another one in Matthew 5, verse 14. 13. Ye are the salt. Let's say it together. Salt. Say it again. Salt. What are we? Salt. Salt. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, that's its strength, its saltiness. Amen. Just becomes white powder. It's been through too many a storm, and it's lost its ability to salt. Amen. And so there's something lacking. It's the taste. The savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is this. You see, you just don't usually put salt on salt, do you? But, amen. You lose something, something's got to happen, isn't it? Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Let's say that phrase together. Good for nothing. Let's say it again. Good for nothing. What is a professed Christian good for that's lost his salt? Let's say it together again. Good for nothing. Oh, God. I didn't intend to preach this hard. Amen. I mean, it's just coming. I'm just following the Lord one step at a time. Amen. Don't blame me. Hallelujah. I'm just following the Spirit and enjoying it. Amen. Hallelujah. But to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men, be trodden underfoot of men, let's say that again. Trodden underfoot of men, can you say that phrase? Trodden underfoot of men, you're not talking. Trodden underfoot of men, who wants to be trodden underfoot of men? Did you know a Christian that's lost his soul? I'm not ready to preach yet. I'll get to it. But I may be already preaching as much as I'll preach. Amen. Did you know a Christian that's lost his salt is not only good for nothing, he'll be trodden underfoot of men. Even the world don't appreciate, Lord have mercy, I intend to talk this strong, a hypocrite. Say it real fast, don't sound bad, does it? Amen. Amen. Even the world don't appreciate a hypocrite. They want somebody that's true blue all the way through, praise God, that's salt. Now, you don't eat salt by the mouthfuls, but when you want salt, reach for the shaker, you expect it to salt. Every once in a while, Sister Collins has sprung some of that new stuff on me. Amen. And I'd salt, and it wouldn't taste salty. And I'd salt again, and still wouldn't taste salty. And I said, wife, there's something wrong with this salt. And then it would come out. It was that imitation stuff, you know. Amen. That super light stuff, you know. Oh, man. Salt substitute, if you will. There's no substitute for real salt. Well, let's hurry on. I'll read you my other text. Amen. And God's already spoke to Cornelius, already sent Cornelius an angel. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing what Cornelius has been doing already. Amen. He was a devout man, chapter 10 of Acts, verse 2. Devout man, that means devoted, very devoted. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. Amen. Yeah, you think about that. I mean, you get in a man's pocketbook, he's getting old-time religion. He gets his pocketbook converted, I mean, he's really, amen, getting down to rock bottom. Praise God. And here's a man that's not even allowed on the inside. Here's a man that's not even considered worthy to be among the redeemed. Here's a man that he is so devoted to God and so hungry for God, he just piles his up on the outside. And one day he stacked up so much. Amen. How many know you stack up so much it's going to, amen, have a landslide after a while? I tell folks, he stacked up so much, he got so high above the wall that it tumbled over the wall and God saw it. Praise God. And he told that angel, he said, amen. He saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, thy prayers, thine alms, are come up for memorial before God. God even saw his prayers. He even saw his alms before he got saved. Amen. I knew a family down in southeast Missouri, well, about 75 miles below St. Louis, 60 miles below St. Louis, Festus, Crystal City. Amen. Brother Elmer Redding, he started a new work down there, and I preached several revivals for him in his storefront, then helped him pour the concrete in his new church. Amen. And preached for him several times coming and going when I was courting that beautiful little petite girl in Granite City, Illinois, that later I married, and I was doing a lot of running, needless to say, back and forth between Manor Spring, Arkansas and St. Louis area. Amen. And so a lot of times I'd stop and preach for Brother Redding and held some revivals for him. Amen. He had a man and his whole family. He started paying tithes before he got saved. And not only was he faithful to come to church, more faithful than just about anybody, and I invited him to the altar many a time, amen, but he wouldn't come. And he came to church and paid his tithes faithfully. And even tried to persuade his brother to come to church and pay his tithes, and got him to pay tithes for a little bit. Praise God. But you know what? Later on, that whole family got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God, I'm telling you, you keep coming close to the fire, you're going to get burned after a while. Amen. In the right way. And that's what I'm preaching about tonight. Hallelujah. On the morrow, they went on their journey and drew nigh the city, and Peter went up the house top to pray about 6 hours. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Did you know who he was talking about when he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat? He was talking about those whom those wild, unclean animals represented. He was talking about none other than the first Gentile converts to Christianity, and that was Cornelius and his whole household. I announced this morning that I would preach on kill it, salt it, and fire it. Hallelujah. That's strong language, isn't it? Strong language the angel used to Peter. He said, rise and kill and eat. Amen. Even the Bible forbid them to eat live animals in the Old Testament. The Bible forbid them to eat anything that died of itself with the blood in it. Amen. But here, God is commanding Peter to kill something. Amen. He, of course, is speaking in allegory and analogy. Amen. And he's comparing Cornelius and his household to all these unclean animals that he's let down on this sheet. And he said, rise, Peter, kill them and eat them. Amen. Now, folks, that's a long ways from what most evangelicals nowadays are preaching. Amen. Oh, well, I know I'm going to have to explain to you because you've gone plumb dead on me when I said kill it. Amen. Jesus said, except a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. Do you know what the cross is for? Amen. Hey, the cross is to die on. That's the only reason for the cross. Amen. Ah, yes, that's the only reason you take up your cross. That's the reason Jesus took up his cross, Mark Barker, was to die on it. And he knew it was his purpose from the beginning of time. Amen. We are to have a spiritual death before God can resurrect us. The reason we have a baptismal service is because somebody died and we got to bury him. And somebody needs resurrecting, amen, and we got to resurrect them. And so we call it baptizing. Baptizo in the Greek, which means to immerse. Praise God. Put under. Hallelujah. We put them down in a watery grave. Why? Because they have died. At least they're supposed to have died. I mean, they need to have died before you bury them. I mean, you can go to jail for burying live people. Huh? Come on now. Praise God. I mean, before you can bury somebody, Mark, he's got to be dead. Amen. I mean, Uncle Cleve used to tell about them having to wake, you know, for the dead man decided they'd play a trick on him, and they let one of their neighbors, who they knew was a little bit scared, sit by him while the rest of them rested. But they didn't know they took a dead man out, put a live man in his place, and covered him all up. And here's that dear neighbor sitting there, amen, watching over this dead body in the wake, they call it. They stayed up all night with them, still do in some parts of the country, amen. And at an appointed time, this live man started rising up out of the casket. And that scared neighbor took one look at him, amen, and he hauled off with his fist and hit him with a haymaker and knocked him back down in that casket and said, if you're dead, act like it. Amen. That's because, you know, it's just not natural, you know, to put live folks in a coffin. It's just not natural to bury live people. Amen. Praise God. I heard a story one time about, in fact, I had a tract to that effect. True story of a man that they had electrocuted in prison. He had already went to the electric chair, and they was carrying him out of the prison to the graveyard to bury him. Amen. And some of them stumbled and dropped one end of the box, and from inside of the box they heard a groan. And they quickly opened the box and found out that he was still alive. Well, he had already electrocuted him. He had already had his sentence. Amen. The papers had already been signed. And there wasn't nothing else they could do with all the laws they had in that day. Amen. But turn him loose. He was a free man. You know the reason why the people are not free in the church tonight? Amen. It's because they never did die. Amen. And they need to get, they need to have a death, praise God, and they need to have a resurrection, praise God. Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Paul talked about a liberal bunch of people that were enemies of the cross. Why? They're preaching a crossless religion. A religion of, without a cross. Therefore, nobody dies out to the world. Nobody dies out to self. It's all of this in Jesus too. Amen. If we make it to heaven, we're going to have to die out to the old life. We're going to have to die out to the world. We're going to have to die out to the devil. We're going to have to die out to the flesh. Amen. And be resurrected in a newness of life. Amen. And so, praise God, the Word of God. Amen. Peter's going to preach to Cornelius. And I'm telling you, his preaching, his two-edged sword, that's what Jesus said, Word of God, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul, that's the life, and spirit to the discerning of the thoughts, and intent to the heart. Amen. Oh, Peter went into Cornelius' household and preached repentance to them, and that two-edged sword went in deep. Amen. And he killed them all. He said, what shall we do? Praise God. Amen. That's the effect John's preaching had on. That's the effect Peter's preaching had on the day of Pentecost. That's the effect Peter's preaching had. Praise God. They all said, what shall we do? Hallelujah. And Peter had sank the sword of the Spirit in deep. Hallelujah. And a lot of those sinners, praise God, became dead to an old life. Dead to an old way. They died out that night. Peter killed them with the Word. Amen. Somebody said, your preaching's killing me. Amen. All gospel preaching does is kill out the flesh. Hallelujah. That's what I meant to do. Glory to God. I mean, you can't kill something that's already dead, neither. The only way the gospel can kill somebody is for them to still be alive and kicking. Amen. The only reason some people scream, murder! He's killing me! Ouch! Get rid of him! Amen. Is because too many times the preacher is preaching the cross, if you please. The cross. Amen. Upon which people die. Yes, we're having a baptismal service after a while. Amen. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. Did you know that's what baptism in water says? It says we've died, and we're being buried, and we're going to rise with Him in a new life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Peter killed it. He killed them all. Amen. But his influence was so great. Praise God. I mean, it was almost instantaneous. Praise God. But the Word and Peter's fellowship and Peter's association with those sinners that he had just killed was of such a nature that he salted them. He seasoned them. He changed their taste.
He changed their flavor. He changed their attitude. Praise God. He not only killed them, he salted them. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. I'll tell you what, folks, fellowship is a wonderful thing. You get right with God and you get repentance in your heart. Amen. You want fellowship with the right people. You want to go to the right place. You'll send for the right preacher. You'll not be looking for a church that fits your lifestyle. That's what some have done when they left Highway of Holiness. Amen. They either looked for a church that fit the way they wanted to live and went to another church. Amen. Then the whole family followed them into it. How many times has that been repeated at the highway, right out of the Highway of Holiness Church? Amen. And first thing you know, if the person that left and claimed to got saved, they're out again, running the streets again, and out in sin again, and the whole family's down there in a church that don't salt nothing. They don't preach nothing. They don't preserve nothing. Anything goes. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what, you don't get right with God. You don't look for the right kind of people. You angels will send you to the right place. You'll not be looking for a compromise. Hallelujah. Say, well, I was saved to go back. Hey, you'll forget about that. Amen. You'll shell down the corn and confess your sins and your shame and get rid of it. Hey, you don't have to be worried about being ashamed of going into sin and betraying your church and betraying your people if you repent. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, he said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Praise God. So we have to forgive and forgive and forgive again. Peter said, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? 7? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. Now, if I told you how many times, I just reiterate, how many times 70 times 7. Even if I repeat it 70 times here tonight, to say nothing of 7 times 70, it would take up all my time. But what did Jesus say? He said to forgive again and again and again and again. If you just shell down the corn, God's people will forgive you. There's some around the church that won't. They may not be God's people, though. If they was, they won't be if they don't forgive. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. You say, well, they just messed up so many times. Yeah, but God knows how many times I've messed up that he knew about and nobody else did. Amen. Oh, yeah. God knows about all the times we fail and nobody else knows about. God knows about all the evil thoughts that never crept out, never took form. Amen. At least in front of anybody. Praise God. And so God's people will salt you. God's people will preserve you. God's people. Fellowship of the right thing is a wonderful thing. Fellowship of the wrong thing, however, is a corrupting thing. Amen. You fellowship with salt. Salt will preserve you. Salt will put flavor in you. Amen. Peter wouldn't go. He wouldn't fellowship. Nothing that common or unclean ever come into my mouth. Amen. God said, go. Amen. He not only killed them, he salted them. His fellowship among them was a vital and a wondrous thing. A wondrous influence, praise God, in those new Christians. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Not only do you kill it, not only do you salt it, but you gotta fire it. I mean, Peter hadn't got done preaching. He had killed them with a two-edged sword. He had salted them with his influence, praise God, and the Holy Ghost fell on all them. And that same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost that caused them to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance fell on them, and they began to speak in other tongues. A bunch of Gentiles had got killed and got salted, praise God, and got fired. Hallelujah. It was so unnatural and so premature that Peter had to baptize them in water after they got killed and salted and fired. Amen. He baptized them in water after they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to have a fire. Amen. God wants us to, amen, be on fire. He said, I indeed baptize John speaking with water and repentance, but he that comes after me, his shoes I'm not worthy to carry. I'm not worthy to reach down and untie his shoelaces. I'm not worthy to tie his sandals. Praise God. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. But before we can have the real thing, the old man's got to die. Got to kill it. Change fellowships. Amen. Whole new life. Pardon me for using the pun, but a whole new ball game. Amen. You can't go to the old ones anymore. Whoo! Hallelujah. You can't run with the world anymore. Yeah, come clean with God. Hallelujah. Oh, I know this is different than the crossless, deathless religion today. It keeps the old man alive while entertain a facade. Amen. That's a front of religion. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more heinous than Christians that's supposed to be dead. Amen. They've come alive. My goodness. Amen. The old man's come back alive. He got up out of the coffin. Amen. And I'm telling you, these ladies that come back to life to the world and the flesh, amen, they look in the mirror and they say, you're so pale, you look like death warmed over. And so they begin to grab at the paint, and they put paint on. What are they doing? They're trying to decorate a one-time dead corpse. Amen. Hang all kinds of beautiful things on it. Amen. And really, they've died out to one thing and come alive to another. They've died out to the Lord and come alive to the world. Amen. I mean, you don't decorate, for the most part, live Christmas trees and bring them in the house. There may be some exceptions to the rule, but 90%, 95% of the Christmas trees that's decorated this Christmas will be after it was cut and carried in. Amen. They was growing beautifully in the field, and God decorated them in the spring and in the summer and the fall and the winter. Amen. And they were beautiful. But now, amen, they've been cut down. It's a terrible thing for a Christian to be cut down. Amen. And you know what happens to Christmas trees 1 week after Christmas is over? Amen. Yeah, they tear all that pretty stuff off that old dead tree. They put it in water and try to keep it alive and try to keep it from catching on fire. Amen. But you know what's going to happen to that old dead Christmas tree a week after Christmas or sooner? Amen. Mom used to let us burn it. Amen. And the ones that don't get burnt go to the dump. Folks, that's the same thing. Amen. They just oxidize a little slower. In the dump. Amen. Put them in the dump and let them rot. The oxidization process is not very fast, but same thing. You know what fire is? That's rapid oxidization. reach a certain point, it oxidizes very rapidly. Amen. Decay is slow oxidization. Amen. It's the same thing. I don't care whether you get burned up or get thrown in the dark. It's not a nice place to be. It's not a nice thing to happen. I'd like to stay salted with His fire, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to stay alive unto God, wouldn't you? I'd like to stay dead to the world and the flesh, wouldn't you? Praise God. It may take some doing because the flesh keeps wanting to come alive. Amen. Lester Moore said, I thought I had old Lester killed and buried. Said, I went out to look at his grave one day, he had a leg sticking out, so I had to bury him again. Amen. Sometimes the old man wants to come out of his grave. He will stay dead. Amen. But there's nothing more grotesque in the eyes of God, nothing more hideous in the eyes of God than a one-time Christian has come alive again to the world. I mean, he'll be seven times worse. He won't be able to get enough of that wonderful stuff called the pleasures of the world. And he'll go deeper and further than anybody. I'd like to stay with Jesus. Amen. I'd like to see that resurrection morning when all the saints are raised in power, ready to live in paradise and have a new life. Hallelujah. Have a new life. Stand with us and praise the Lord, and let's get on our knees and pray a little for this service tonight that God will save somebody, help somebody to die up to the old life and live by new for God. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.